This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. As my guest here on BPN Radio today, a lady who's been a friend of Gene and I for the past 25 years or so, Janie Autry. Janie's the wife of Tom Autry, and Tom is the host of Walking Music here on BPN Radio. And Tom and Janie over the years have traveled with Gene and I, been a tremendous blessing. Janie, welcome to BPN Radio today on this Thursday.
Good morning, Brother Dale. How are you?
I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And I am I'm so thankful you take time out of your schedule to be on today. I heard you sharing your testimony. I heard parts of your testimony over the years, but I heard some of your testimony the other day, and I wanted to invite you to be on the broadcast today to share your story. I know that so many people are experiencing sexual abuse or have experienced that, still carry the pain and the trauma. And so I'm thankful that you would come on and share your story and pray with people that are listening today. Of course, this broadcast, this program, is replayed throughout the day here on BPN Radio. And also, I'm going to play your song that you wrote in conjunction with your testimony in a little while. But it's so good to have you on. And can you tell your story to people that are listening today that may be going through this, may have gone through the trauma? And, you know, it may be an incredible story for some people as a preventive measure also. So it's good to have you on, and whatever you want to share, I know it takes a lot of boldness to do that and openness, but I know that I believe your testimony today could be a tremendous blessing to so many people.
Well, thank you for having me on, Brother Dale. We love, Tom and I love you and Gene so much, and Tom, it's such a privilege to have served with you. As far as my testimony is concerned, I want to reach out to people today that maybe have been keeping a secret of having been abused and not ever been able to tell anyone. I found that by revealing and opening up to having been sexually abused by my biological father from the time I was 2 till I was 16 was very much a deliverance for me. And once I was able to expose, if you will, myself and all the horrendous things that I had been through, I was able to become free from those chains that bind you. And they are chains that bind you. I mean, if you've been abused and you kept the secret because of whatever reason you're keeping the secret, it's time to let go. And our testimony sets us free. And I just believe that through prayer and under the right teaching of the Word of God and knowing and finding out who I was in Christ, then I became free. I became delivered, and I became victorious over the sin that beset you, you know, if you will. And it wasn't a gentle process. It wasn't an easy process, and it is not instantaneous. So I want to say to those women or men that have been sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally or mentally, any way that you've been abused, it's a process. And God is the only one, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the only one that will truly set you free. And I think by talking about it, I've gone around to different ministries and been able to give my testimony. And by talking about it, I've seen the results of women and men come forward and being able to say, yes, that's me, that I want to be set free. And so I know that that can happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to get to share it.
Yeah.
I guess
my question would be, this went on for 14 years, and how could that happen? I guess from the very, mm-hmm. I mean, if you were 2 years old, as long as you could remember until you were 16, and how could that mm-hmm. go on for 14 years, and how did you become captivated? Where was your mom? What was going on? Why didn't you say something? And I guess all of that.
Well,
so it went on for 14 years till you were 16, right?
Right. The earliest memory that I have when I was two was in our home. I don't know for what reason, but my mother would not be in the house. And my father would... we would be taking a nap. I had a brother that's 15 months older than me, and we would have to take naps. And my dad would come into my room, and I remember that. And then it went on. I mean, I guess I don't know how to explain. I don't want to go into graphic details, but my mother was never around when all of this was going on. She was either, at that time we had clotheslines, so she would be hanging clothes out, or she would be somewhere with my grandmother, or she would be sewing or something. But she never came to my rescue. She never was there. She was never present. And so it would be while she was taking my brother to school, or I just don't know where she ever was. It was very disheartening to me that my mother was not there to protect me. And it just was two or three times a week. He was always in my room, in my bed, and I was told that if I ever told anyone, that he would kill me. And I must say that when you're a child, the person that you love and trust as your parent, when they say that to you, that they're going to kill you, you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very scary. And so not only was I being abused sexually, but I was being told, now I'll kill you if you tell anyone. So,
did you not tell your mother?
No, I never told my mother until I was 16. And when that happened, it was over a time at school. I had gone into the restroom, and for some reason, started crying, and I couldn't quit. And a girl came in that I had gotten to know, and she said, "Janie, why are you crying? You're so sad. You just seem so sad all the time." And I said, for the first time, I need to talk to somebody. And so she sat down on the floor with me in the girls' bathroom at school. And by this time, I was in high school at 16. And she said, "Just tell me what's going on." And so I opened up to her, and I told her that my father was sexually abusing me on a daily basis at home. And I wanted some help. I was so scared. And that if I told anybody, he would kill me. And so she said, "Well, this is going to stop. You come home with me, and we're going to protect you. My mother and dad will never hurt you. You come home with me. So you go home, and you pack your things, and we're going to pick you up. And my dad will come and pick you up in the car. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to pack my things. Well, when I was doing that, my mother came in, and she said, what are you doing? And I started talking to her. And I said, Mom, I said, what would you say if I told you that Dad was having sex with someone else? And she said, well, I would call you a liar. He would never do that. And I said, well, Mom, it's me. He's having sex with me. And she said, what? You know, and she went on, and she got so mad. And she said, you're just lying because you want something. You're lying because you want to go out with somebody, and so you're going to make up all these stories. And I said, no. And I was crying. I was very emotional. And so that just stopped right there. She got up and left the room. Well, the next day I went to school, and a note was sent to my teacher that my dad was going to pick me up. There was an emergency at home. And so I knew, you know, I knew what the emergency was, and that I might be killed that day, because that was his word. So I went out, and I waited for him to come pick me up. And when he picked me up and I got in his car, he said, how did you do this to me? And I said, do what to you? He said, why did you tell your mother? And I said, because I'm tired of it, Dad. I'm tired of all of this. I feel used. And I used an example of a used car, because that's all I knew, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I feel like a used car. I feel dirty, like dirty. And he drove on home, and we got in the house, and my mom was laying on the bed, and I sat in one chair. My dad sat across from me in another chair there in their bedroom. And he said, now you tell your mother that all I ever did was teach you about your body, that I never did anything. And I told them my testimony that I gave the other day. It was just like the Holy Spirit put me in a bubble. And it was like, you tell the truth, you know. The Holy Spirit was saying, you stand your ground, you tell the truth. And I looked at my dad, and I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, you can believe him or you can believe me, but I did not lie to you. And, of course, she was crying and everything, and I said, that's what I said to them. And I got up and started to leave the room, and about the time I was down the hall to my room, which was just a short distance, I felt my hair being pulled. And he grabbed the back of my head, and he threw me up against the wall and started calling me names, which I will not say. And he said, you get in your room and you get your clothes off, you're going to get another beating. And I was always getting beatings. So I said, no, I resisted. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he said, yes, you are. And so he started pulling my clothes off me, and took off his belt and started beating me, all of my legs, my back, and my arms, and I was just screaming, and there was no help. There was no help. And my mother never came in and told him to stop or anything. So I just, that day, you know, I was at home, so I had to stay home, and then I had to go back to school the next day. So I had to wear a long sleeve shirt and slacks that would cover up the bruises and everything. So I went back to school that day. And my girlfriend said, okay, tonight's the night we're going to come and get you. And so I got my little bag full of things ready. And when I started out the door to go and meet them, I felt that same thing happen. He pulled the back of my hair and pulled me back in the house and started laughing at me. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm leaving. I'm running away. And he just laughed and laughed at me. And he said, you want to leave? You want to run away? I'll just put you in an orphan's home. How would you like that? And then he just made me go to my room. There was no running away. So it was very intense around our house for the next few weeks and months because of all of this having been exposed. But my mother never believed me. So I never had that hope. So I turned to the church. I turned to God. I turned to the sweet Jesus that I know. I've known Jesus since I was like 8 years old. And my grandma said, you used to speak in tongues when you were 8 years old, Janie. She said, you have been the love of Jesus. You've known the love of Jesus. And so I turned to Jesus and I said, Lord, only you can help me with this. Only you can break these chains. And so one time I was in this Bible study in our church, and they were talking about the prodigal son and how he went and he was in the pig pen with the pig. And I stood up and I said, I'm in the pig pen with the pigs. I want out. I want to be set free. And I mean, it just all came off. It all came off of me that night. I felt clean. I felt precious before the Lord again. And the joy came. And I'd never known what the joy was. I'm talking about when I was like 18 years old. I never knew what that joy was. And it was just precious. And the lady that was praying with me, she said, Janie, the joy angels are here. The joy angels are here. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. And I just wanted to love Jesus. That's all I wanted to do. And so I just dedicated myself to him totally and completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to put it all aside, you know. So it was a horrible life. It was a horrible childhood. I don't have any memories of any birthdays when I was a child. I don't have any happy memories of anything in our home. My brother was beaten as well as I was. You know, my mom would say, well, you just wait till your dad gets home. You're going to get another beating. So we had two beatings. So it was pretty horrendous. It was pretty horrendous.
And so why didn't you tell the school officials? Why? I mean, as you got older, why didn't you report it to the police? You were still afraid as a teenager.
I was still afraid, and I did go to my uncle, my mother's brother. He was always like a big brother to me, and I went to him, and I told he and his wife about it. And they did enlist an attorney, and we met in a car with this attorney, and the attorney said, do you really want to expose your dad about this? Because he's a very prominent man in town. And do you really want all your friends at school to know this? Because it'll come out in the newspaper. And I said, well, I guess not, you know, if it's going to be that. Because I was scared. I really mm-hmm. believed he would still kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the only time that I really had any legal help. And my uncle told my aunt, he said, I have a gun. I'll just go kill him. And my aunt just begged him, no, 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 don't do that. He was just livid.
Mm-hmm.
And
How did all of this come to a close, Janie? How did it finally end?
Well, it finally ended with that exposure when I was 16. He'd never touched me again after that. And then I was allowed to date. I was never allowed to date before that time. Mm-hmm. I was not allowed to go to movies. I was not allowed to do anything. We were raised in the religious part of church, you mm-hmm. know, that you can't wear slacks, you can't mm-hmm. cut your hair and all that.
Legalistic.
So after that, I started dating, and I was promiscuous. I had learned. You know, I was promiscuous, and I had to rein myself back in, and I'd go to church, and I'd get saved every Sunday because I knew that I had sinned. And so I would go forward and get saved again, get saved again, until I found out who I was in Christ. And that came years later. So, yeah, I had my aunt and uncle try to help me, and they backed off because my dad was prominent. He knew a lot of people in a lot of places, high places. So, you know, I couldn't do anything. I went to counseling. Lots of things.
And so what happened with you and your dad's relationship after that, as you became grown?
We were very distant, and my mom, of course, was always distant. And so he had a business, and he was busy all the time, and I just kind of went my own way. So we never really had a relationship after that.
Well, that's a difficult story, but it has a good ending that Jesus came and rescued you. And what would you say to young ladies or young men, anyone that may be entrapped in this situation, going through it now? What would you say to them? What would you tell them to do?
First of all, I would tell you, if you are the victim of abuse, then tell somebody. And realize that you are not guilty. You probably feel dirty. I felt dirty. I felt guilty. I felt like it was my fault. It is not your fault. This person that has abused you knows what they're doing. And if you're a perpetrator and you need help, then I ask you to fall on your knees before Jesus and ask for help and ask for forgiveness and get some help, because you're hurting people. And Jesus is the only one that can set you free from that. It's an illness. It's a horrible illness that you have. And these precious people that you are hurting, you need to stop. You need to fall on your knees before Jesus and ask his forgiveness. And if you're being abused, please, please go to somebody. Tell somebody, get some help. And if you need legal help, get help. Don't be like I was and be afraid that somebody's going to know about you. I was afraid. I was told by an attorney that you're going to expose all of this. Well, I should have. In retrospect, I should have. But I was so scared. And for 14 years, you know, I was told, I'll kill you. So if you're being held in bondage by all of that, please, please seek help. Pray. Ask Jesus to help you. I will help you if you need help. I would be glad to help you. So please don't keep quiet. Please.
Well, how could someone get in contact with you?
Well, they could get in contact with me through your radio program, I think. That would be the best way, if you don't mind.
That's right.
And then yeah, I'll do whatever I need to do to help them. I'll pray with them, whatever it takes.
Okay. Well, if you want to get in contact with Janie Autry, you can send your email to breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com, breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com. And just a few minutes, I'm going to have you to pray for people that may be going through sexual abuse, incest, or those that may carry the scars of that, which I believe that some people carry the rest of their lives. Why would a mother be an enabler? Why would a mother enable her husband to do something like this? Because, you know, your mom had to know eventually what was going on or suspect what was going on. Why would a mom do this?
I don't know how to answer that. You know, I told her, I exposed him, and she still denied it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know unless she was afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that he had a mistress. The mistress finally came to me after. My dad was killed in his airplane in about 1972.
Mm-hmm.
He was a private pilot, and mm-hmm. he was coming back from a business trip and crashed. And after that, his mistress called me and told me that she had been his mistress for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens to be my mother's deceased also. My mother's best friend.
Wow.
And so he had several women
mm-hmm.
that he was a sick man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I call it what it is. You're a perpetrator, you're a pedophile, you're a sick person that does this.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why my mom never helped me. To this day, I mean, when she died, I just lost it because I started crying and I couldn't quit. And I was driving around in my car and I called a counselor and I said, I don't know what's wrong. I can't quit crying. My mom died. And so after a long talk with this counselor, she said, Janie, she was your last hope of ever getting comfort and getting help with this. And now she's gone, so you feel like you've lost your hope. Well, she was not my last hope.
Right.
I know Jesus is my hope. He is my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And the victorious side of this is you can be set free.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are feeling hopeless and you feel like you could just, at one time I tried to kill myself. And when I did that, I was taken to the hospital. And during that time, I don't know how much time we have left, but I'll hurry.
Okay.
But during that time, it was in a dark room, and all of a sudden I opened my eyes. I'd been in a coma for a couple of days, and I opened my eyes, and there was this beam of light in the room. And it was Jesus, and he stood right there before me, and he said, Janie, I would never hurt you. I would never abuse you. I would never do any of this to you. I love you. You're my child. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, just like his word says. It says it in the Bible. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I'm telling you what, I got up from that hospital bed and I left that hospital. I put my clothes on and left the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a soul around when I left. And nobody ever called me. Nobody ever sent me a bill. Nothing. And I know that Jesus had me in this cocoon. He had me. He allowed me to be there so he could personally visit me. And if you're feeling hopeless to the point of suicide, I want you to know that you can have hope. It's the hope of Jesus, his love, and his precious healing power.
Yeah.
That can come and heal you. Don't do it. If you're going to commit suicide, stop. Don't do it.
Right.
Please call BPN Network. Please send an email. Do something, but don't take your life. All of the abuse is not worth it.
Right.
Jesus has a plan and purpose for your life.
Yes, he does. Janie, in just a few moments, I want you to say a closing prayer. But I do want to play this song that you wrote in conjunction with your experience called In My Darkest Hour. And I have it queued up and ready to play. I want to play this that you wrote in conjunction with your testimony in your darkest hour, how you reached out to the Lord. I want to play this and we'll be back for a closing prayer, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. darkest hour, Jesus spoke to me and said these words. I know your birth. I see your tears. I felt your pain. And I took all your fears in my darkest hour.
Okay, Jan, it's a great song that you wrote and sung there in my darkest hour, and that pretty well tells it all.
Yes, yes, it does.
Tell me how
it
you were. Tell
me
in
my darkest hour.
Yeah, I did. I know that. Tell me how you forgave your father. How did you work that through?
Well, it was really hard, but I wrote a letter to him. And I listed all the pain that he caused and all the shame. And then I said at the end, I forgive you. And it was very hard to do that, I won't lie. But I know that if Jesus took all of our sins on the cross, which he did,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter how bad the sin is, or how small the sin is, he took them all, then what right would I have to not forgive?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we hold unforgiveness in our heart, then it's detrimental to us.
Yeah.
And to have the complete love and all the beautiful things that the Lord wanted to do in my life, I had to let go of all that. And it's a good thing. So now I have peace about it. I want to testify about it. I want to help others. I love being able to minister to men and women who either are the victim or the perpetrator, and just praying with them and knowing that God, our love, Jesus Christ, will set them free.
Yeah,
just like he did me.
Yeah. I appreciate your transparency, Janie, today, and your boldness and your openness to share your story, because I know that that this is a growing problem in America, yes, sexual abuse, particularly within the family. And, I want you to say a prayer before you go for those that are listening, maybe going through this, or maybe still reliving those days, months, years. of wounding, being wounded, hurt, or whatever it may, whatever they may carry. So pray a prayer, Janie.
Okay. Father, I just come before you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask today that anyone that is a victim right now of child abuse, of any kind of abuse, Lord, that you would minister to them, that you would draw them to you, Father, that you would heal them, that you would bind up their wounds and break those chains off of them. Father, that they would have boldness, that you would give them boldness and wisdom to know how to get out of a situation that they're in. And Father, if they are the perpetrator, the pedophile, I pray for them too, Lord. I know that there's no sin too great that you won't forgive. And I ask, Lord, that you would move upon their lives, that you would move into their minds and let them see that they can be set free, that they don't have to live in this bondage. I thank you, Father, that you are our King. You are our Lord of lords and King of kings. And there's nothing too hard for you, nothing. And precious Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just go about and minister and love these precious people that need help. Set them free. Father, if there's anyone right now that's thinking of killing themselves because of the pain that's just too unbearable, I just ask you right now to stop them. Stop them in their tracks, Father. Let them be set free. Let them see that glimmer of light that you showed me. That you said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Father, just touch them today, Lord Jesus. Touch them right now where they are. And bring people in their paths, Lord, that would minister to them, that would help them and see that they have a life set before them. They have good set before them. Nothing is so hard for you, Jesus. Nothing is too hard for you. And we just thank you and praise you that we will hear good things come from this testimony, from this song, whatever it is, Lord, from this prayer, that good things will come, good reports will come, that people are being set free. And we thank you today for this opportunity to be on BPN Network to share this testimony and to give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I set myself in agreement with you, Janie Autry. I believe that a lot of people are being set free, whether they're listening live this first hour or throughout the day. And I just believe that your testimony is helping a lot of people get free. Thank you so very, very much. Love you and your husband, Tom. I'm going to play a song that you guys both have recorded called Your Spirit Sings. And good to have you on today. God bless you, Janie.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Give my love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Lord, when the rivers raging in my mind, the war is waging, the Spirit sings. Your Spirit sings to me, and by the things of this world I'm blinded, when I've become double-minded, your Spirit sings, your Spirit sings to me. Still. spirit is seen. Your spirit sings to me. And the time when I feel alone, and it seems like I'm on my own, your spirit sings. Your spirit sings.
There you have Tom and Janie Autry. What a wonderful song, Your Spirit Sings. It's been great to have Janie Autry on with us today. And that was her and her husband singing, Tom and Janie Autry, longtime friends of Gene and I and BPNRadio.com.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
quench the fiery darts of the evil one and put him in his place. Father, you've given me precious promises, the faith I'm gonna receive. Believers are receivers and doubters do withouters. I believe, I believe, I believe. I'm hanging on your every word, standing on your promises. Oh, and just like a tree, I'm planted by the water. And though the fiery furnace gets hotter and hotter, I'm hanging on your every word, walking in the faith I heard. Oh, I'm not letting go, I'm hanging on your every word. Standing on your promises. Oh, and just like a man who built his house upon a rock, the wind and the rain will never knock it off. I'm hanging on your every word, walking in the faith I've heard. Oh, I'm not letting go, I'm hanging on your every word. And John, gonna keep standing on,
hanging on, hanging on.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ruth, Lord, your word is true,
hanging on, hanging on.
From Genesis to Revelation, Lord, such a sweet salvation. I'm hanging on, hanging on your every word.
In the river, find me on my knees. I've walked against the water, now I'm waiting if you please. We've longed to see the roses, but never felt the thorns, and bore our pretty crowns, but never paid the price. Find me on the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find find me in the river. I'm waiting here. Against the water. Now I'm waiting if you please. We didn't count on suffering. We didn't count on pain. But if the blessing's in the valley, then in the river I will wait. Find me in the river. Find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. I'm waiting here. Find me in the river. Find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. I'm waiting here for you. Come find me. Find me in the river.